Yes. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Glenn Krause from Core CDI with another great podcast today. I'm privileged to have Brian Gwee MedicalCodingGeek.com, and he also is the creator and master of Not Elsewhere Classified Podcast. About a year and a half ago, I had the privilege of being on Brian's podcast. It was well received, and Brian has agreed to graciously donate some of his time today to talk about the query process in general. And Brian and I see eye to eye on a lot of different aspects of CDI, including some of the limitations of the query process and how the query process can be really honed in and make a true difference in the documentation and quality, and also how the query process it can be a detriment to the CDI program and lead to additional denials from a medical necessity or clinical validation denial. So having said that, Brian, appreciate you being on the show.
Hi, Glenn. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. So I just wanted to get an idea. You know, we've had a discussion quite frequently and often about the query process. And so I wanted to see, what are your thoughts? Is the query process working as a whole for CDI? And if not, what things could be transformed to make the process more effective in the whole scheme of documentation, integrity, and improvement?
Yeah, I think the query process is a good process, but it's not being utilized or managed properly. You know, I feel like the query process has been more like a crutch for CDI specialists. You and I know the goal of any program is for outreach to physicians to help them understand how they can improve their documentation. But what I've noticed is, you know, programs, not all programs, but I mean, I've seen quite a few where they, again, utilize the query as a crutch rather than, you know, in being place of physician education. So what you'll see programs doing is just blasting a whole bunch of queries with expectation that the physician will change their behavior and change their documentation. You know, you could even talk to other colleagues such as Dr. Govender, who has great data showing that, you know, for how long that I've been a CDI for the past 12 years, I mean, how many queries do you have to send for CHF for it to get it right? But if you look at the data, nothing has been fixed, nothing has been improved. So why is that happening? And I think the biggest problem is that we are, our CDI programs, are really relying heavily on just the query process, making it work, you know? So as far as, again, just looking at how it can work better, you know, the query process does not go away, right? But it should be placing the, you know, you have to get back to basics, Glenn. You know, when you look at just the program itself, is there policies and procedures that that can be utilized as educational material for physicians? I mean, that's the upfront. That's really where you got to begin, is just physician education. If you're not doing continuous physician education, you're really having doctors blind and being thrown again these queries and like, what do you want me to do? And then after that, after so much, the physicians get weary of the queries, and then they just say, hey, what do you want me to write? You know, and then we snowball into a big effect of them just writing whatever you think should be written, but not, you know, it's their call. They're the physicians. They're the captain of the ship. They should be the one making the decisions. Although only what we do as far as CDI specialists or CDI professionals is basically pointing out what is going on in the record. We're just here to present the information in a sophisticated way, I mean, that's the key word. I mean, there are some programs, or at least from what I've seen in my chart reviews, the sophistication of the queries that I have seen is just ridiculous, just to put it very bluntly.
Oh,
But
and Brian, so let me ask a question.
yeah.
Are they, so the queries that you're seeing in your CDI practice are compliant? You know, the HEMA and ACT has just updated their practice brief or guidance on a
Correct.
compliant query. Is it is so the query is compliant, but it's not changing behavior, or is it too fixed in compliance and really doesn't give the physician any education?
I think there's a couple of problems in the queries that I have seen. Number one, the compliance is not there, or I think more or less there's not enough information for the physician to make a decision. You know what I'm saying? Like how, you know,
Yeah.
for example, like I had one where it was for pneumonia, and it was about well, the way they asked it was, okay, patient has fever, leukocytosis. They didn't mention any chest X-ray. The patient was antibiotics, and they had the
Yeah.
gall to ask, what kind of pneumonia does this patient have? Bacterial, gram-negative bacteria,
Aspiration.
viral aspiration. Well, based on that information you just gave me, fever, leukocytosis, antibiotics, how is a doctor going to make a decision? You know, and then I can see why physicians will look at that and say, well, I don't know, because you didn't, first of all, I cannot answer your question based upon the information you just gave me. So when I say sophistication, that sophistication, that credibility just went to the garbage, you know?
Oh yeah, and I see that quite frequently.
Yeah.
Hey, I had one the other day. I think you can relate to this, Brian. Patient came in with patient came in with a white count 20, okay, temperature 102, so it met the SIRS criteria, okay. But there's different. We don't necessarily have there's different clinical entities that mimic sepsis upon presentation. And
Yes.
cause a change in mental status. I think that's important to understand. And so, 2 days into the stay, the patient came on the weekend, and some most facilities, unless you're a big, larger hospital, don't have 7 day a week CDI coverage. So they come in on Monday. Patient came in on Saturday. So they query the physician 2 days into the stay. The doctor puts an addendum in the progress note. On retrospect, patient was met criteria for sepsis upon admission, and he gave the reason why, which is good. Okay, sometimes, well, the majority of the time, a doctor will just check off the query, but he doesn't give us his clinical judgment or medical decision making.
Right.
Okay, and that is so important, because if you get a denial, how do you appeal what you're saying? Patient met criteria. It's he said, she said. That's what the situation is. But if you
Yeah,
go
yeah.
back. But if you go back to the H&P, the patient may have met the criteria, white count this, the temperature this, respiratory rate this, heart rate this, okay? But look at the clinical facts and information in context. The patient was urinating anytime three and no distress. They were sitting in the gurney in the ER watching TV and eating crackers and a sandwich and eating soup. Now, do you that don't smell like sepsis to me, and so I'm kind of convinced, and I want to get your thoughts. We get so wrapped up in this compliant query process, which I'm not downplaying, very important. In my mind, there's no room for leading queries. We have to be able to look at the record and see whether the clinical facts, information, context, clinical judgment, medical decision making, does the patient as a whole in the documentation appear to have the diagnosis that you're asking for. I think that's one of my biggest concerns with this query process, is we sit in a room, a lot of places are going remote, or sit in a room using one of these software solutions, which I'm not a negative or against them. They have to be used in the right context. So it prioritizes records with the most opportunity for improvement, i.e. most opportunity to wring more money out of the chart. And then we send a query. I don't even think the physician who gets the query knows who's sending the queries.
Yeah. So it's, I think the idea is that the query process has become, again, the crutch, where it totally separates a building relationship between the physician who needs the help and the helper, the CDI specialist, who is probably in some offsite office or working from home. So I remember a while back, I was a CDI specialist myself, and I love the fact of working remote. Okay.
Yes.
And yep. I'll tell you the truth, Glenn. I actually disagree with you initially when you say, it's something about you don't really necessarily agree with remote. But then after a while, after a couple of years of putting it into context, it makes sense, because when you look at remote roles, you're totally removing the relationship, the relationship between the specialist and the physician.
And the people aspect of it, it's become to me, Brian, I don't know how you feel about this, but let me kind of give you my interpretation of CDI.
Yeah.
It's become an arms race. Do you remember, I'm probably dating myself, but do you remember back when I was growing up and at home, let's say 3 years old, 5 years old, or even, 10 years old, I turn on the TV, there's Jack LaLanne pushing his juicer, the Jack LaLanne juicer.
Uh-huh.
You still can buy them today. He also had an exercise show, okay, where he shows you how to work out and you work out with him, sort of like the versions today where you can go on the internet and be motivated by someone who's leading an exercise show, stretching, jumping jacks. Okay, it reminds me of CDI in some capacity. Why? Because we're looking at the record as the juicer, and the juicer is, and the documentation is the oranges or the vegetables and fruit that go in the juicer, and we're not really, and so we're trying to squeeze as much juice, and that was one of Jack LaLanne's claim to fame from his juicer. It extracts more juice out of your fruit and vegetables than any other, and is really healthy for you, and you can lose weight, and you can, as part of an exercise regimen like my show, okay? Well, it's the same thing with CDI. We're using the juicer as the medical record. We're using the documentation as the fruits and vegetables, and we're trying to squeeze as much juice or money out of the chart, but we're not necessarily attuned to the quality of the vegetables and fruit going in the juicer. So the outcome is we have poor documentation, but we got a diagnosis, and it plays into the fact that the outside reviewers are looking to validate the diagnosis and medical necessity, and it's not in the chart.
Yep. It seems like the people on the back end, the ones that are doing the denials, are the ones that are doing the actual job. You know what I'm saying? Why is that happening? That, when you're going back on the back end, the people doing the auditing, the denials, they're the ones doing the real job. So if that's the case, why can't, CDI specialists step up their game? We hear a lot of presentations and webinars on how to defeat denials or how to prevent denials, but I think what happens is that it's a matter of strengthening their CDI program, but I think it comes down to the very basics of policy and procedure. Looking at looking at the data, right? So you can only get data through your queries, which is very good. That's to me what queries are all about, capturing data.
That's right.
And then you utilize that data to build a solid clinical policy based on, journals, information, websites out there that would support the clinical condition. Pair that up with coding guidelines, And there you go. You have your policy and procedure. Turn that around. Make that an educational opportunity for your physicians. In the meantime, build a relationship with those physicians, right? And then let them loose, right? And then the query should really be more, not necessarily the communication tool of identifying the problems in documentation, but more or less the tracking tool. Like, okay, this is what the state of it is. Because I think a lot of times when we think about queries and the way that physicians look at queries, they see it like a slap on the hand, a slap on the wrist, like, oh, I got a query, I got to answer this. And so, you know, you got doctors now dealing with a lot of the being overworked. And when you toss in a query at them, I can see that they're not in tune to answering it because it's presented improperly. It shouldn't be the slap on the wrist, but more or less just the way to track how they're doing and how they're progressing. But that can't be done unless you have a solid educational, continuous
That's
education
right.
plan going
Absolutely,
on.
Absolutely, Brian. Boy, you're hitting it right on the nib. You know, last year, Actis did a survey, and they had the results on their website. They were asking for what are the top 10 diagnoses you query, okay?
Yeah.
The number one diagnosis was heart failure. Brian,
yeah.
That code has been out there for 10 years, at least
yep.
eight to 10 years. We're still asking for the type of heart failure. That
yep.
tells me that we're not doing a great job as an industry in educating our physicians on the importance of documentation. It's not, and I think part of, what are your thoughts on this? I believe, I'm convinced that part of the problem is that CDI and sees the record as a reimbursement tool and not a communication tool. So we send out queries for diagnosis to increase the case mix index, CC, MCC, PSIs, HACs, quality scores, risk adjustment, HCCs. Well, I'm really okay with that because I want hospitals as a CDI practicing CDI. I want my hospital to get paid fairly for the services provided and rendered and the quality
All right.
that's delivered and patient satisfaction with the resources consumed, okay? But on the other hand, if we're not focusing on the throughput, see, we're focusing on our focus is too much on the outcomes of these KPIs, which are all they are is a statistic. There's this, like you said, data points, statistics. How many queries did you leave compared to how many records you reviewed? What was the response rate? What was the agreement rate between what was the agreement rate between the coder and the reconciliation and the CDI? Things that we're not measuring is the quality of the documentation. And I've developed a tool that has been time tested and used at two hospitals in Maryland, still being used today. CDI is responsible for reviewing 20 charts a month and using the tool to grade H&Ps, progress notes, and discharge summaries. That's valid, it's reliable, it's measurable. And they found that their denials have been going down in clinical validation and medical necessity because they're dealing, like you say, with improving documentation on the front end. And unfortunately, I don't see CDI in its present process being very effective in that area.
Yeah, I like the point where you're utilizing the, you know, where CDIs are just focusing on the diagnosis and your point is overall documentation needs to be improved. And I see it. Like, you know, sometimes when queries are answered, they just place the diagnosis and no rationale explaining, you know, how is it clinically supported and how it was derived. And that to me, like, you know, is a big denial point. Like, okay, well, here's the thing. I can do an audit on a retrospective chart and I know there are cases or some hospitals or institutions that don't have the query, you know, as part of the medical record, But after a review of the medical record, I can tell when a query was placed because the diagnosis, that is placed sticks out like a sore thumb. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
Like
just
all of
like
a
the
sudden
one.
you have a case, and all of a sudden acute respiratory failure just sticks out like a sore thumb, and you're thinking to yourself, where did that come from? And so
Yeah.
without any clinical indicators, the whole entire chart, the patient was breathing fine. There was no respiratory distress. The patient was only like on 2 liters nasal cannula. Come on. And where did that
Yeah.
respiratory failure came
I
from?
don't know. I
I'm
mean,
for
is that
sure it came from a CDI specialist.
that's the same thing. I had a case where the doctor gave us, at least he gave us the clinical rationale, but the clinical facts and information outside of the clinical indicators. And I think that's certainly where CDI needs to really take a hard look at what we're doing, because the clinical picture has to explain and support the diagnosis. Otherwise, we're going to continue to have additional medical necessity denials and particularly clinical validation and DRG downcodes. And shame on hospitals for not, and what's really bothering to me, Brian, or troublesome to me, is that when I do some of my open door forums for actresses or actors chapters or HEMA chapters or HFMA chapters, whether it's online or in person, I ask, particularly actors in the HEMA chapters, how many of you receive information about denials and medical necessity, clinical validation denials, DRG downcodes? And I would say less than 1% ever even either answer that they do or raise their hand if I'm doing it in person. And so to me, you're not taking advantage of the opportunity to improve documentation.
I think the problem too is the way CDI programs were initially taught. It was not so much the way you're presenting it in terms of overall better documentation, not just from a diagnostic standpoint, not just from the assessment or the impression standpoint, but you're
Yeah.
also looking at from the physical examination
That's
to
right.
the medical decision making, the plan, the whole thing has to be put together. Now, the way that most CDI programs are trained is basically based upon the coding aspect, which I think
That's right.
is kind of lopsided because when you look, because basically you're just given a code book or you're just shown the software and you're shown,
Yeah.
okay, this is the unspecified code. Here's a more specific code. And then you see them circle it like this is the one that we want. Or this, if you're here, and it's pretty much strategies to shift DRGs,
That's
not
what it is.
more or less to
It is.
improve documentation.
I was having a conversation with a physician. A physician. I was actually skiing, a couple of weeks ago over Cannon Mountain, one of my favorite mountains over there in Franconia Notch, New Hampshire. Great skiing. So we're riding up the chairlift, okay? And so we were talking about CDI because that's my love and passion. And he's still a practicing physician. So he said, I asked him, have you seen any change in the CDI programs? He said, no. He said, nothing's changed. I'm still getting the same queries I got 20 years ago. He said, it's all about reimbursement. It's all about reimbursement. I say, but we got all, but the industry has evolved. He says, no, it hasn't. It's all about the reimbursement and DRG shifts. Don't kid yourself. And here's a physician, practicing physician, who's telling me this. And he said, then he said to me, just a couple of closing points here, Brian. I want to get your opinion. Then he said to me, the description of CDI as clinical documentation improvement is a misnomer. I said, and it's counterproductive and counterintuitive. So I said, well, what do you mean? He says, we're just clarifying in the chart. We're just clarifying in the chart through the query process with no education to clarify about something that's already in the chart. If you read the practice brief, which of course he doesn't have, but I mentioned to him, We have certain guidelines that we need to follow. We can't introduce a new diagnosis. We can't lead. He says, I know that. He said, but you're not improving documentation. He says, because all you're doing is clarifying. The physician is the only one who can improve the documentation, and we're not working with physicians to truly improve the quality and help the physician learn how to become more effective documenters. In closing, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think what I have experienced is two parties, the CDI program and the physicians, both are standing in front of each other with their arms crossed, you know? And that's what I've felt for the past 12 years, is just that you could sense the division between a CDI program and physicians. And I think what CDI programs and physicians, keep in mind, it takes a village. It's a collaborative effort. There's many stakeholders, including administration, which we haven't even talked about.
That's a good topic for another podcast down the road.
Yeah. But I think what happens is that I guess in general, it's going to take some time, but I think what happens is that both parties need to uncross their arms and let themselves in. One good way is that I don't see enough of, and you mentioned it in your story, is feedback. We get feedback in terms of how documentation is being done from a coding standpoint.
We never ask
doctors, hey, like the same way you asked about the CDI program to the physician, how about asking the current physicians in your facility what they think of the CDI programs? Let the physicians grade your CDI program based upon what they have dealt with in the past couple of years. That's the best way of finding out how good your program is. If you're not open to doing that, then I can definitely see that you don't want to improve your CDI program.
No, that's right. That's absolutely right. So, Brian, I appreciate your time and your wisdom. You and I see eye to eye on where CDI is. We certainly agree on where CDI should be transforming. I call it repositioning of CDI. Any closing thoughts or that you want to leave the listeners at this point?
I think, you know, after how many years of CDI, and I'm going back to other people who have mentioned this, including Dr. Govender, we have to disrupt the industry. You know, it's about disrupting it. We can't do the status quo. It's not about doing the old things and doing it differently. It's about creating an openness. As we mentioned, even in my podcast, you know, we have to have an open door education policy. If we're not doing that, we're just pretty much, again, just standing, staring at each other, crossing our arms, and expecting something to be done, but nothing gets done.
Yes, just doing the same thing over and over again and think we're improving, but we're not really.
Yeah, so, and you're just wasting money doing it.
That's right. That's another topic for a podcast.
Yes,
so, yeah,
sir.
Brian, I want to thank you for your time and effort and your wisdom on this podcast. Folks, if you haven't checked out Brian's website, medicalcodinggeek.com, he also has a podcast called NEC. I was on the podcast. If you can do a search and look for my name. And also, if you haven't seen some of our podcasts on the core-cdi.com website, please go ahead and do so. There's a whole litany of podcasts on various topics. The most recent one was my friend, my colleague, Julie Howard, Director of Case Management in Central Florida Hospital. Excellent discussion on from the case management perspective on how CDI can work with case management in UM to drive down denials. So this concludes our podcast for today. Thanks for listening.